We'll be taking our Bibles and going back to the book of Psalms tonight. We'll go to the 32nd Psalm. We'll be looking at this psalm as we've been going through this study in the Psalms. I'm going to, in some ways, combine two things this evening, in that I want our minds to begin to focus on our upcoming meeting, our attention and our prayer to be toward that, and asking God to work in our individual lives as well as the church as a whole. And this psalm seems to go along with that. And before we do that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into God's word tonight. Father, I thank you for your book that you've placed in our hands. There are multiplied thousands of believers all over the world that would do anything to possess this book. And I thank you, Father, that you have given it to us. We're no better than anyone else. And yet, Father, you have given us this opportunity. Help us not to be foolish and neglect what you have so freely given. Lord, we pay no price to have this book. We're not hunted down. We're not imprisoned. We're not enslaved. And yet many of our brethren are. So God, I thank you that we can freely hold this book in our hands tonight. Lord, help us to be people of the book, reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, and living it most of all. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, I thank you that you forgive. I thank you that you do not hold our sins against us. And so, God, tonight, as we look at this 32nd Psalm, I pray you would just ring it home to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Austin, I did not put on my lapel mic, so you can just keep the pulpit mic on. Let's read this 32nd Psalm. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And I want you to notice, as we do, since this is really a study, I want you to notice the title, A Psalm of David, Maskil. Well, we know who wrote it. It's very plain. It tells you right there. David, king of Israel, wrote this particular psalm. And then he says it is a maskil, or in other words, it is a song of instruction. That's basically what the word maskil means. It means instruction. It's a song that reinforces some lesson of wisdom or piety. It's called a didactic song. And didactic means it's intended to teach. It's not just a song that you sing because you're happy or whistling Dixie, whatever. There's an intent behind the song, and that's what a psalm is. A psalm is a song that are song or sung, obviously. I guess if it's a song, you would sing it when you... So, I want to begin tonight by looking at the very last verse, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I got to thinking when I read this, do you know Do you know who a righteous and an upright in heart person is? It's a person who's forgiven. They're not necessarily upright or righteous in themselves. And we know that especially from this side of the cross, that we have no righteousness of our own. All righteousness that we possess is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you hear these words, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Listen, how did they get upright in heart? How did they become righteous? They were forgiven. A man or a woman that you see and consider upright and righteous is just another sinner who has been forgiven. And it's something we should never, ever forget. I want you to notice here in verses 1 and 2 the results of a forgiven person. The results of a forgiven person. It begins by using the word blessed. The word blessed simply means happy. Just happy. I was saved relatively young. Made assurance of that at 17 and claimed that as my salvation time. I've told you many times, October 31st, 1976. So I'm coming up on my 40th spiritual birthday at the end of this month. I was not involved in street gangs. I did not do illicit drugs. I've never had a drop of alcohol in my lips. I've never had a cigarette to my lips other than I ate four of them. I ate four cigarettes for Bible school. I played a character named Silly Billy at Belmont Baptist when I was the assistant pastor there. And the pastor would convert Billy during the week, but Billy had to grow in the Lord. And so Billy did all kind of things like listen to rock music and smoke cigarettes and all that. So I came out with four cigarettes in my mouth. And all the kids, when the pastor's turning this way, all the kids, oh, he has cigarettes in his mouth. And when the pastor would turn around, I tried to hide stuff. So I got really dumb. And when he did that, I just went, chewed them and swallowed all four cigarettes. I found out something about cigarettes. That nicotine burns like crazy. It really does. And I thought, anybody that would smoke these things has got to be an idiot. I hope nobody in here smokes. Really, I mean, that stuff burn. It's like, man, I would never smoke these things. So I haven't smoked them. I have eaten them, but I do not recommend that. I do not recommend smoking them either. I've never been involved in those things, but you know what? The longer I live and the more I come to understand how every sin caused Christ to have to die and suffer, the more I understand and appreciate what He did for me. And over these last several months, I've asked God to break me. I've asked God to do some special things in my life because I want to know Him in a greater way. I want to know what I'm asking you to desire, and that is genuine revival. And God is working in me and convicting me and changing me and revealing. I've always, you know, I said to people, look, how can you dare dwell in sins of your past when you know Christ is forgiven? You know what's happened? It's like some of those things in my past have come back. It's like, I can't believe. That I ever allowed myself to think that way. Or to do those kind of things. I'm serious. Just sit before God's like, this is so stinging and embarrassing. But then He reminds me, I have forgiven you. I put your sin away. We don't forget
We don't forget. Praise God, He does.
Amen.
He does. I was listening to a singing group. These guys are all Samoan. They're all brothers. Never heard of them before. What was it? Keepers of the Faith. These guys are huge. Boy, what a sound. So go on your computer, YouTube, and look up Keepers of the Faith. And one of the brothers is being interviewed, and he said, yeah, I was in a street gang. In fact, I was the head of the street gang. And he didn't go into full-blown what he did, but it must have been pretty bad. He said, yeah, I've spent time in prison. He said, there's some things I've done, he said, that are really bad. But then God has forgiven me. And it's like, you know what? No matter what the sin is, blessed, happy. And God just working in my heart. And I guess you try to come closer to Him, and the light of His holiness more and more shines out your imperfections. And it's like, good night, I'm cruddy. I'm so filthy compared to Him. And then He reminds you, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And that's what David is saying. Blessed. How happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What a blessing. I can say this truthfully. I got issues in my life that I get frustrated with. Some things I get angry about. Some things I'd like to change. But I'll tell you something. When it comes to Him, and knowing more and more and understanding more and more what He has done for me, I am a happy man. I am blessed to know that He has forgiven me. What does that word mean, the word forgiven? Have you ever stopped to think about it? The word means, technically, it means to lift. In other words, He lifts your sin off you and He removes them. He takes away, He sends away your sin. Forgiven. Psalm 103 verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Micah 7:19, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue all our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And when you go to the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews emphasizes that passage a few times in the book of Hebrews to remind those Hebrew believers, God does not drag your sin back up. I might drag my sin back up. I might depress myself. But God says, just like the song, the quartet song, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. And because He does it, why? Because He's cast them away. He's buried them in the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. Somebody asked the question, how far is the east is from the west? The two never shall meet. You circle the globe. If you're traveling south, you'll eventually be going north. But if you're going east, you will always go east. And if you're going west, you will always go west. As far as the east is from the west, God removes your sin. That's a pretty amazing thought. What a good God. Happy is the man that's forgiven. Isn't that a nice word, forgiven? It's nice to say to people, I forgive you. It's nice to hear it when somebody forgives. What a blessing that God forgives. What is He forgiven? Well, you notice He says He's forgiven our transgressions. The word transgression means to trespass. Or you could use the term a false step. You are departing from what you know to be right. You're deviating from what is upright and truth in God's eyes.
We've all transgressed. We've transgressed God's law. We've fallen away or departed from God, the things that He wants for our life. To be honest, Christians do that. It's not just the lost crowd that does that. It's Christians that do that. Did you transgress this week? Was there something that you know God wanted you to do, but you trespassed against what He wanted you to do, or trespassed against that which He did not want you to do? He said, I have forgiven your transgressions. And then He says, He's covered our sins. And we've talked about the word sin many times. It simply means missing the mark. Both Old and New Testament, that attitude is there. If your mark or your goal is not God, somebody said, then you've missed the mark. If what you do in your life is not about pleasing God, then you've missed the mark. Never thought about that that way before. So everything you do, from doing studies for school, from standing in the batter's box to taking the next pitch, to cooking your favorite dessert, to whatever you do, if God is not the mark, then you've sinned. Now, what are we told? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. So if you don't, and I don't, you know what? I've missed the mark. I've sinned. See, brother, we sin a whole lot more often than we think we do. A whole lot more often than we think. But there's a blessed word. He says, you're a happy man if your sin has been covered. The word covered means just that. It's covered. It carries the attitude of atonement. The Hebrew word here, kasa, is to cover it over so it can't be seen anymore. It carries a lot of attitude toward the temple and the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of that ark was a thing called the mercy seat. It covered the ark. And in a sense, God said, I am covering your sin so they cannot be seen anymore. That's what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. He atoned. He was the propitiation for our sin. And He said, I'm covering your sin. I'll see it no more. I'm glad. I praise the Lord for it. You see the word iniquity in verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Iniquity is just flat out wickedness. It's perversity in the life. Folks, we live in a society that is iniquitous. Our society just doesn't miss the mark. Our society is about doing as much evil and wickedness as we possibly can, and seeing how much more we can be debauched, to see how much more we can twist and distort that which is right. We have taken marriage, a holy institution of God, and twisted and distorted it and perverted it, and we are a nation of iniquity. Amen. And if you support same-sex marriage, if you support homosexuality, that is an iniquity before God. Amen. But here's good news. He said, that can be forgiven. I said, maybe it was last Sunday night, maybe it was Wednesday night, or maybe I was just an individual. There's about 6 or 7 people that I pray for, that I know, who claim to be born again, who are involved in the sin of homosexuality. You know what? God can forgive that. And if God can forgive it, so should we. Hey, if you're not willing to hold against a person the fact that they gossip, should you hold against a person the fact that they've committed homosexuality? If you're not going to hold against a person the fact that they doubted, should you hold it against the person because they were an alcoholic? All sin separates from God. All sin condemns. Oh, they're not all on the same level. Don't misunderstand me. There are some things that are an abomination to God and other things that are not listed as abomination. But listen, all sin separates. And God forgives. Listen, He forgives just simply missing the mark. You know, I'm going to take my arrow and shoot at the mark. You know, I want to please God. I want to do the right thing. I keep missing the mark. I'm not intentionally doing anything. I didn't go up there and defame the mark. I just miss it. Transgressing is a little bit deeper than sin. But brother, iniquity is real bad. And I love verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. God does not charge this sin, this vile, wicked, perverse sin to his life. I've known some people, and you might know some people, that have been very iniquitous. Their life has been very distorted, very twisted, very lawless, very iniquitous. And I've known some of those men to be the best preachers this nation has to offer today. God has completely changed their life. You know why? Because God forgives everything. I am amazed. And that's why you need to read through your Bible. You just need to read through your Bibles. Get past the point of, well, I'm just reading the Psalms. I'm just reading the book of John. You've got to get past that. You've got to read the whole counsel of God. And then you come up to a man like Ahab. And Ahab, who did everything evil. The Bible says when God said, I'm going to judge you and take you out. You know what the Bible says? Ahab humbled himself before God, and God said, I'm not going to destroy him. Here is Manasseh, a man who made the blood, the Bible says, made the blood flow from one end of Jerusalem to the other with the blood of his own children. And when he was taken into captivity into Babylon, the Bible says he humbled his heart. You know what God did? Forgave him and then restored him and used him to influence somebody. And you know who he influenced for God? A grandson named Josiah. I am convinced that little period of time when Manasseh returns as an old man back to Judah, that he cannot reach his son who is an iniquitous king, and God judges and destroys. But there's a little boy named Josiah, and in that interim, those 8 years or so, when Manasseh is an old man, and he sets that little grandson Josiah on his knees and said, oh, grandson, oh, please don't do the things I did. How wicked your grandpa was. Oh, but Josiah, God forgave me. And God restored me. And Josiah, you go straight. And maybe, in fact, the Bible says, maybe the most righteous of all the kings who ever sat on the throne in Jerusalem, that includes David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and a slew of other righteous kings, possibly the most righteous of all of them, was a young man by the name of Josiah. I'm so glad that God forgives transgression and sin and iniquity. The end of verse 2, he says, in whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, that person who is going to God for forgiveness is not a fake. He's not doing... Now listen, you know, listen, if you have Catholic ties, this is not a put down to Catholics. In a sense, I am justifying them because we Baptists do the same thing. We say it is wrong for a Catholic to go to confession and confess his sins to the priest and then go out and do the same things and then come back the next week and do the... You know what? Most Baptists do the exact same thing, except we don't have a human priest. We have the great high priest, Jesus Christ. And we look at 1 John 1:9 and say, well, if we just confess our sin, he forgives us, and we go back right out to the dirt and wallow around and come back and say, you got to forgive me, you got to forgive me. Listen, forget condemning others for what they view and start looking at ourselves for how we view the Word of God. What I'm saying is, yes, does he forgive when you ask him? He does. He told Peter, look, 70 times 7, I'll forgive endlessly. He means that. But God forbid that we do what David said is condemned, that we come to him in the spirit of guile, deceitfully, pretending to want to forgive when we intend to go back to the same sin. Brother, when you get sin forgiven, the attitude of our heart should be, God, I want delivered from this. Man, I want to be delivered from using my tongue to speak filthy words. I want to be delivered from smoking those cigarettes. I want to be delivered from drinking that alcohol. I want to be delivered from whatever it is that troubles you. Not saying, well, I come and get forgiveness, but I'm going to go out and do the same thing tomorrow. And then I'll come get forgiveness, and I'll go out knowing I'm going to do the same thing. Listen, in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit, no hypocrisy. It is hypocritical to come to God and pretend we want forgiveness. We have no intentions of changing. I'm not hearing any amens on that. You know why? Because it could be that we get caught up in those things. I want you to notice in verses 3 and 4, I call this the remorse of a foolish person. Verses 3 and 4, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And then he uses the word Selah. In other words, think about what I just said. Think about what I just said. The remorse of a foolish person. The foolish person tries to cover his sin. That's what the term I kept silence means. Oh, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. If you are living your life with known sin, and your wife might not know it, or your husband may not know it, or your parents may not know it, but there is a God in heaven who does, and he's making you miserable inside. But oh, I can't deal with that, because if my wife ever found out what I was doing, she'd probably go file for divorce. Oh, I can't tell my husband what I'm doing. If my husband ever found out, oh, he would want to disown me. Oh, I can't let my parents find out. You know, they'd never trust me again. You know what? Sometimes we have all kind of reasons why we're not willing to deal with our sin. And the psalmist says, and I believe David is coming from the perspective of these things having happened in his life in the past, and he's telling us, I want you to see what it's like to have your sin forgiven, but I also want you to understand what it's like when you are covering your sin. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You realize that one of the leading causes for disease is literally a person who is not willing to be right. That is a medical fact. That much disease is brought, I shouldn't say much disease, but there are evidences and testimonies of disease, people's health collapsing. Why? Because they have lived lives that are not right, and they're not willing to deal with it. They're not willing to take it and get it settled. And folks, and I told you before, my mother-in-law worked for a psychiatrist, a group of psychiatrists and psychologists who were dealing with people who had all kind of mental and emotional issues. And she worked for their billing system trying to collect money from these patients. And I remember her telling me one time, she said, you realize the majority of the people that these psychiatrists and psychologists are seeing, most of them are Baptist. I thought, are you kidding me? She said, no. Now, I say that a little bit with a asterisk to the side, because if you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, there literally is a Baptist church on every corner. So it is Baptist dominated. You're not going to find a Baptist culture up in Canton, Ohio. You know, it's, you know, heavy in Catholicism, Lutheranism, things like that. But deep south, Baptist church on every corner. So that may be part of the reason. But it's sad that there's a Baptist on that list, period. Because much of what we deal with when it comes to emotional, not all, please don't go out here and say, Pastor Vaughn stomped all over the psychology and psychiatry. And look, no, I'm not doing that, and I'm not saying that everybody who has an emotional or mental issue is because of sin. But I am telling you, some of it is, if not a lot, because people are not willing to deal with things in their life and get honest and clean with God first and then with other people. Every morning as I pray, Matthew 6, 11 through 13, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And every day the Holy Spirit examines me and lets me know if I'm holding something against somebody. And a few verses later he says, if you're not willing to forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I believe that we struggle sometimes in these areas because we cover our sins. We don't want to be embarrassed. If the people in the church found out what I did, or if my family found out what I did, oh, look what the psalmist said. I kept silence and my bones began to wear out. Health issues began to arise. Verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture, the marrow and bones, is turned into the draught of summer. He said, you better think about it. You don't want to cover your sin. Don't be that foolish person who does not deal with the sin. But then we come to verse 5. Verses 5 and 6, and we find the relief of a free person, free from the guilt of sin. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And he said, this is worth thinking about too. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Listen, he said, the free man who ceases to cover his sin but acknowledges his sin in that act becomes free and finds those burdens begin to lift. There is something I mentioned to you. God challenged me to deal with someone in my past from several years ago. And about 3 weeks ago, I got off by myself, drove up a ways from here, got on my cell phone, and just talked to this individual and made things right with them. You know what? There is a freedom to that. There have been some times in my life where I've been very critical of certain people. I remember in college, Bible college, I got real critical toward a couple of the professors there. I mean verbally critical to others. I remember having to go to those people and say, will you please forgive me for running my mouth about you? One of the greatest pastors that has ever lived in the United States, his name is Harold Henniger, built a church of 10,000 members. There are still today hundreds and hundreds of people all over the world because of his ministry. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands literally saved. And your pastor, as a young man, had the audacity to criticize that man. You know what I had to do? I had to make it right with him. Yeah, you're probably saying, I can't believe that you would do those kind of things. Yeah, I did. And I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. But I tell you what, when you do what God tells you to do, when God is dealing with you and say, get right, and you need to go to that person. Don't you come confessing to me if you're not willing to go to the person that you offended. You're not willing to go to the person that you've criticized and gossiped against, talked against. You go to that person, you make it right. Brother, the release that I had, making things right. There's a freedom there and a relief there. I acknowledged. In other words, that word acknowledge means confess. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, it's interesting. In the New Testament, the word confess means acknowledge. Confess, to bemoan by the wringing of the hands our sin. Just how broken are you about your sin? Now, listen to me. That is why sometimes we don't deal with sin, because our sin is not a big deal to us. Can we be honest with each other? If our sin was such a big deal, we get right. If our sin was such a big deal to us, we wouldn't allow it to linger in our lives for days or weeks at a time. We'd get it taken care of. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity, that evil, that junk, that twisted, distorted, perverted life. He said, I haven't hid it. I haven't tried to cover it up. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And listen to those words at the end of the verse. And thou forgavest. Thou forgavest. Thou forgavest. Can I tell you something? He will always forgive. If you in sincerity come with a true heart of repentance, He will always forgive. Always. What if my brother sins against me? Again, I've already forgiven him once today. What if he forgive him again? Oh, you mean seven times? No, Peter. Till 70 times seven. The attitude is endlessly, Peter. Just if he's sincere, if he means it, forgive him. Now, do you think our God is going to tell us to treat other people that way if he's not going to treat me that way? I don't think so. He will forgive. I guess I need to get going here. Let's just jump down to verse 7. And I call this the rest of a forgiven person. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Think about that, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He said, here's the rest to a person who genuinely comes to know God's forgiveness. The person who is seeking God's forgiveness, he said, I will be your hiding place. He said, I will preserve you, verse 7. He said, I will deliver you, verse 7. He said, verse 8, I will instruct you. He said, I will guide you. I think about what we're told in Isaiah 30, verse 21. There God says to that person who gets right, this is the way, walk ye in it. I'll guide you with mine eye. Listen, I will take care of you. If you get right with me, I'll take care of you if you confess your sin. I'll take care of you if you acknowledge your sin and your iniquity. I'll forgive and I'll give you rest in that forgiveness. And I praise the Lord for that. The end of this chapter, you notice verse 9, he's kind of polite. He says, be not as the horse or as the mule. Now, how stubborn are you and how stubborn am I? God says, if you're stubborn, you won't let go of your sin. You're just like the dumb mule. He said, but if you will step aside from that, he said, you'll find joy. He said, but if you don't, you're just like that dumb mule, that dumb horse that has no understanding, no ability to think on its own, and has to be led by bit and bridle. So you know what he's saying? He said, don't be dumb. Don't be stupid and don't confess your sins. Don't cover your sin. Apparently, I'm not supposed to stay stupid because you're looking at Jaden. Don't do that. Don't say what he said. It's okay from the pulpit. I'm just teasing. Don't be dumb. Instead, verse 10. Many sorrows shall be the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him. Trust him, and God will shower you with his mercy. He'll give you what you don't deserve. Do we deserve to be forgiven? No, we don't deserve to be forgiven, but he longs to forgive you. You may not be in deservance of forgiveness, but he sure will if you ask him and you mean business with God. We started with verse 11. We end again with it. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Now, what happens to a person who's forgiven? They're made righteous and they're made upright. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Just remember this. If you see a man or a woman who is righteous and upright in heart, you know what they are? They're a forgiven person. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way you ever became righteous in God's sight was the day that God forgave you. And now that you're his child and he sees you as righteous, he'll always see you that way. But the joy of maintaining your fellowship with him on a day-to-day basis comes through the thing really that saved you, confessing sin. Not to be uncondemned, but simply to maintain that fellowship with God. Now, this psalm is a psalm you need to focus on over the next month. This is a psalm you need to look at and say, God, there needs to be a work done at Grace Baptist. For all the good things He's doing here, we're still not anywhere near where God wants us to be. I'm convinced of that. But it's incumbent upon you and me as your pastor to go before God and say, God, reveal sin, reveal faults. God, as you reveal, I'm willing to confess. I will not cover it. I will deal with this. I will make these things right so that you can pour out your blessings and maybe, just maybe, pour out revival on this church. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to do that for the cause of Christ, for the sake of this local body of believers, for your family's sake, and for your own sake? Would you be willing to do that? I just want to encourage you over this next month to examine the 32nd Psalm, maybe even do it often, and say, God, help me not to cover my sin, but to confess. Father, I thank You for Your word, and I pray that You would use it for good in every life here.